Hello and welcome back to the Catch the Blitz show, episode 2, and week 1 is just days away. We had our preview show last week previewing the whole season. Today I think we're going to focus strictly on the week ahead. Thomas Pokornik and Christian Catanacci, as always. Cat, what's going on, man?
Man, am I ever excited. I can't wait. It's like Christmas. It's like Christmas Eve, even though it's a Tuesday by the time. I'm not sure when you guys are going to be listening to this, but it's Tuesday, September 5th. We're just about 48 hours away, and I feel like I was, you know, 20 years ago when I was waiting to go downstairs for those those Christmas presents. I guess this is Christmas Eve when you're all grown up, right? But I can't wait.
I said it last week. I do think week one is probably the best week of the year, at least the most anticipated week of the year. Yeah, wild card weekend's good. Yeah, those weeks hit different when you're late in the playoff months or in the playoff race months, November, December. But something about not having football for so long, and then you're kind of teased in the preseason, watching third stringers just saying, "Oh, I can't wait till, you know, the stars are back on the field." And then you get week one in college, the week before the NFL comes back, so you're sort of watching football there. Definitely a lot of anticipation and a lot of big games as well. The Chiefs Thursday night to open the season. They got the Lions coming in. Not looking too great for the Chiefs right now in terms of injury bug, contract holdouts.
There's a lot of controversy around the Chiefs right now. Not necessarily. I don't know if controversy is the right word, but you got the whole Chris Jones situation. Is he going to play? And not even, it's looking like his week one status is pretty much washed, but is he going to come back, and when is he going to come back, right? We're talking about a guy that's going to be forfeiting over $1 million every game that he misses, but he's clearly determined. He wants that contract, and he's a big player for the Chiefs, right? He's a massive part of that defense, and that's a huge hole that they got to fill. And now, as of this morning, Travis Kelce suffered a hyperextension to his knee, and they're calling his status doubtful. Although Rappaport just came out and said that it's not anything long term in terms of like an injury, so it is probably just a, you know what I mean. He tweaks it. If this happened, let's say, on Saturday, he probably is. It's a different story. But 48 hours until the game, it's definitely something to keep an eye on, right? And this is a huge player. I mean, we don't have to harp on how important Travis Kelce is for this team, but. That's two big players that might not play this Thursday. And you know what I mean? Like, it's unfortunate because it's like the first game of the season and it's such a highly anticipated matchup, and you're going to go and watch the Chiefs with potentially no Travis Kelce and potentially no Chris Jones. So,
yeah, I mean, the Jones one in particular is really, really interesting because it feels a lot different from the Nick Bosa thing that's going on in San Fran, where it kind of feels like they're very positive about it. It's just like, okay, he's going to become the highest paid player. It's just a matter of sort of when he's going to be joining us. I actually think Bosa's going to play on Sunday. I think they're going to get the deal done like within the next 48 hours, within the next couple days at least. But the Chris Jones thing just seems kind of weird. The Chiefs didn't want to pay Tyreek Hill all that money. They traded him. But now if, you know, from Jones's perspective, you mentioned all the money he's losing out, $1 million per game. He's already lost $2 million just from not going to camp. Yeah. So at what point do the scales tip where he's now loses all the leverage and saying, like, I'm holding out for a pay raise, but in the long run, I'm holding out for so long that I'm not even going to end up making any more money. So that's kind of a weird, weird situation. But that's where we are with the first game of the season. Yep. And this was a game that when the schedule was first announced, I'm not going to say I was disappointed because that sounds a little bit disrespectful to my Lions, but I did think the Chiefs were potentially going to blow out the Lions. But now that the Kelce thing's going on, all this Jones drama, I'm starting to look at the game a little bit differently. I don't know about you.
I don't know if it necessarily tips the scale in the opposite direction for me. I still think the Chiefs are very easily the favorites. I mean, the Lions sort of still, I guess on my side of that. I mean, you just look at the teams, and I think Detroit last year, they were obviously the heralded Pox Lions. This year's a little different. We're both on the same page that they are a little bit overrated, not necessarily overrated. I feel like overrated is probably the wrong term, but they have expectations, right? And I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing. and again, they're facing a juggernaut here, right? Like, this is, even though they have no Kelce, have no Chris Jones, they have the best quarterback in the league, right? And they're at home, and Patrick Mahomes and under home openers is 5-0 right now. He has averaged over 38. I think it's 38.7 points a game. So, like, that's a big hill to climb if you're Detroit. I think Detroit, what you want to see if you're a Lions fan or if you're just part of that organization, you want to see a competitive four quarters of football. Obviously, you're going in. You don't want to go into a game and be like, oh, we're going to lose the game. You want to expect to win, but, like, you want to be competitive, because if you want to be respected, like on the top level of teams in this league, which a lot of people are putting the Lions as favorites to win 11, 12 games, you got to be able to compete with guys like this, right? And I'm not saying go there and beat them by a touchdown or even lose by a touchdown. I'm saying just be competitive in parts, right? Yeah. If the game gets away from you in the later half of the fourth quarter, it is what it is. But if you're competitive for 80%, 90% of this game, it's a positive, a sort of a building block that you can use towards the rest of the season, right?
Especially from an offensive perspective, I think. The Lions are going to be a team that wins because of what they do on the offensive side of the ball. You're going up against one of the best offenses in the league, one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. Show that you belong. Show that you can hang with them, especially on the road. If you come out of this one, you lose 38-31. I think the Lions can somehow be proud of that in a way. I know it sucks to start the season with a loss. And defensively, you know, surrendering 38 on the road is not a good thing.
No.
But let's look at who they're playing here with the Chiefs. It's going to be a really tough game. But let's look at some of the other games in week one. There are a lot of good ones. I think we'll both pick the game we're most excited to watch this week. And I don't know, unless you wrote down your Cowboys, I was going to say, to be fair and unbiased, we cannot pick our own team. So
I did not pick my team, but I'm always looking forward to that, okay, the Cowboys.
Yeah,
so,
of
you
course.
Know what I mean?
So that's a given. I was going to say the Dolphins.
Yes,
but
yes. I went with the Browns and the Bengals. I think, to me at least, I said it last episode too, the Browns are so intriguing. I think there's such a wide range of outcomes where what their season could be like. Like, if we were to fast forward in the future, if I had a time machine right here and I stepped through it and I looked at the Browns and they were 3-13 or 3-14, whatever it is, or they were 14-3, I'd be like, oh, okay, I could see it. So with that being said, it's like that's a great test. You're going up against the Bengals, who are the top dogs in that division. And can they compete? I think the Browns are going to be a very good team this year. So I want to see how they look up against the team that they're most likely going to be, quote unquote, chasing, right? So that's what I'm excited to watch is how do the Browns look? Deshaun Watson has a full offseason under his belt. He didn't play 2 years prior. That's why last year he came and looked like a shell of himself. But can the Browns keep up with the Bengals? That's one of the most exciting parts of week one for me, is to see how the Browns are going up against, like I said, the team that they're going to be ultimately chasing at the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm into that answer. And I'm not necessarily very high on the Browns, but I do see the upside, and I'm like many, wondering how good Deshaun Watson is going to be, because that ultimately is going to be what drives this team as far as they can potentially go. If he is back to being, let's be honest, a top five quarterback, which is probably the range he was performing at when, you know, everything hit the fan, the Browns are going to be a very, very good team. So that's a good test for them right out of the gates, the team that's won that division for the past two seasons. I'm going to stick with also a division matchup, and this is the oldest rivalry in NFL history, and it's been one-sided for a long, long time, but now we have two fresh young faces at the quarterback position, both with, I think it's fair to say, we have more questions than answers so far at this point in both of these quarterbacks' careers. This is the Packers going up against the Bears. I don't know what to think. I don't know who should be the favorite. I think the odds have the Bears by a point.
1 point, yeah.
Like, Fields, expectations are crazy high this year. A lot of it is probably due to fantasy football. Everyone loves the rushing numbers, the stats, the highlight reels that he has put up. But it has not been pretty so far as a passer for him. That needs to improve. He's got weapons now. The defense should be better. The O-line should be a little bit better. So the Bears are a team that definitely need to make a jump. And then there's the Packers, who a lot of people are very cautious with this team, but I'm kind of all in on Jordan Love. I think he has a good core around him. Matt LaFleur is an elite, elite NFL head coach, and the defense has some solid, solid veteran pieces as well. So I'm not writing off the Packers by any means. I picked them to make the playoffs. I think I even picked them to win the division last week. And the Bears, like I said, there are very, very different opinions on that team. So I'm intrigued by both these teams going forward, and the fact that they're clashing week one, I think should be a really, really fun contest.
Yeah, I think everything that comes with the rivalry and all the intrigue, both these teams, we're in for a great matchup. Like, both these two games, and we could have honestly went through every single game on the slate and gave you a reason as to why this game is intriguing. So that's the best thing about week one NFL. And, I mean, Packers and Bears, like you mentioned, there's not a rivalry that is as old as that one. That one goes back. And I know, going back to the Aaron Rodgers, I own you, all that stuff. So who knows? Do the tides shift? This is the year that the Bears start to come on top of the Packers. We'll never know. And I'm sure we'll find that out on Sunday.
I think that's part of the magic of week one, honestly. Everyone has something to play for still, whether you're the Chiefs or the Cardinals. And I think that's also said when it comes to fantasy football, because you know, no matter how bad it was last season, or even if it was good, you're starting fresh, you got a new team, you got your schedule in front of you, and week one is like, everyone is so reactionary. If a guy's got 25 points, I think he's going to do it every week. If a guy gets you 4 fantasy points, it's like, throw him on the waiver wire, I don't care who he is. Every year, we react so much with week one, but fantasy is always, always something that I look forward to. How many leagues you playing in this year?
Oh, man. I got I had 6 drafts.
That's insane.
Seven leagues. So I'm in it because I have a dynasty league that I'm in, which we don't draft. We just do rookie draft, 1-round rookie draft.
What'd
actually, two-round rookie draft. I drafted Anthony Richardson this year.
That's a good pick. Yeah. I think he'll be. I'm in one keeper league. I took Anthony Richardson. I ended up trading him shortly after, but running quarterback like that, like, he's got Justin Fields written all over him, who's like a top 6-7 fantasy quarterback.
So that's why, and I got him late too. I didn't have a first round pick. I traded it.
You got him late.
I got him hitting the top of the second round.
That is crazy.
But we also do our draft like right after the NFL draft. So if I feel like if we did it now, you would probably gone like in the top 5.
Yeah.
Right.
I could see that happening. I suck at fantasy football. Like,
it's all luck anyways.
Like, I have struggled mightily the past few seasons, and there's so much stuff out there, rankings. I'll see one post and it's like, draft this guy, and then the next post I see is, don't draft this guy, and it's the same guy. So what I started doing this year is I've got a little trick up my sleeve. I got some consultants working for me over at Didit. And what Didit is, it is an interface. It is a software that lets you chat one-on-one with real-time experts and gets you the best advice, tips, everything for your fantasy team. Check them out at didit.io. Download the app. You need to get on there if you are struggling like me with fantasy football. And hopefully it'll turn your season around, because I think it's going to turn my season around. I'm pumped, ready to go. But with that, let's get into our starts and our sits for week one, powered by Didit. Make sure to check them out. Like I said.
So I think, you know what? I struggled. I really wanted to put Sammy Watkins down here. The week one demon of my must start of the week. But unfortunately, he's a free agent. May he win the free agent match of the week? I'm sure he is, because there is nobody that is better than week one Sammy Watkins. Right? But with that being said, my must start for this week, I'm going to go with Damian Pierce, the Texans running back. I know it's Baltimore. You look at Baltimore, people go, oh, that defensive line, I don't know if they're going to be able to run through it. I genuinely think Damian Pierce is in for a massive year, a huge year. And you look at that role, there is nobody there. Young quarterback, offensive line, whatever. You can tell me the offensive line stinks. They do. But we're talking pure volume here. Damian Pierce is going to be a workhorse. He's going to have a 3-down roll. He's going to catch balls out of the backfield. And I think you're going to be seeing it on display week one. Will the Texans beat Baltimore? Probably not. I'm taking Baltimore in my survivor pick, so I hope they don't. But I would not be shocked if we're talking, we sit here in our show next Tuesday, and we look at the top running back scores, and Damian Pierce is right up at the top of that leaderboard. I think he's in for a massive year, a huge workload, and he's headlines my must start for this week.
I don't mind it. I'm high on Pierce for the season. Week one against the Ravens, that is a bit of a tough matchup. I could see Lamar blowing this game open and kind of just making it a tough game for the Texans to get the run game going. But let's be honest, he is going to be their offense this season. He's a bell cow back. He proved that last year. So not a bad pick. I was honestly going to counteract you and just go J.K. Dobbins, the running back on the other side. Love that matchup against the Texans run defense, but I'll be a little bit more creative. I'm going to go to Jahan Dotson.
Wow.
Over for the Washington Commanders, going up against the lowly Arizona Cardinals, the team that, let's be honest, they got no fire in their gut. I don't care what Jonathan Gannon is saying in his epic pregame speeches, but Dotson last year was incredibly efficient, showed that he can, you know, line up in the slot, line up outside, do everything with success. He's got a ton of speed, and Terry McLaurin attracts a ton of attention, and he has been solid throughout his career. Never really put up the monster games that you look for in fantasy sometimes. I think Dotson's efficiency combined with, you know, a young quarterback in Sam Howell, maybe that sort of connection builds even stronger than the Howell-Terry McLaurin connection. I'm really, really high on Jahan Dotson this year, and what better way to start your season in a game that they should absolutely win and put up some convincing points, start them this week against the Cardinals.
I like it, too. I struggle with those Commanders wide receivers this year. Even a draft that I had last night, I had McLaurin and Dotson sitting on the board, and I just, it was so hard for me to pick between the two. So I'm definitely eager to see, and I ended up going McLaurin for that reason. So not knowing my luck, Dotson's in for a 1,400-yard season. So I think just off of that alone, Dotson's in for a big week. But yeah, let's talk about the opposite end. Who is someone that you'd avoid? Obviously, we don't have Diddy here to tell us who to avoid.
Yeah.
But if you were to avoid one person, who would it be?
I'm going to go with this guy for week one, but it's mostly an all-season long play, and that's Josh Jacobs. And I know you might think that's crazy because Josh Jacobs is a, you know, he's going in the top two rounds, sometimes even in the top three if he's really sliding. But he didn't have any training camp. He joined the team very late. He had this big contract dispute. He had the most touches in the NFL last year, and it wasn't even close. They ran this guy into the ground. I'm very, very concerned about fatigue, especially, like I said, without, you know, who knows the conditioning that he's in because he wasn't with the team for so long, and also injury. And I don't wish injury on any players, but if you look at the trends of players who lead the league in touches, the next year, a lot of time what happens is they burn out, they get hurt.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, there you go. Derrick right. Henry, McCaffrey did it. I think Najee Harris 1 year led the league in touches. They're going into Denver. It's a tough place to play. It's a pretty solid defense. It's week one of Sean Payton. I'm not very high on the Raiders this year. I would just sort of avoid Josh Jacobs in general, but he is the type of player where if you drafted him, he's probably one of your better players, and you're so starting him every week.
Yes.
But here's my message. Avoid Josh Jacobs. Approach with caution. If you haven't drafted yet, it's not too late.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I don't have any Josh Jacobs shares in fantasy this year just because I sort of am the same way. I look at that, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, can I trust a guy that's coming off a career high in touches and, like you said, blew everyone else out of the water. Like, we're talking about a guy that led the league by wide margin in overall touches in Josh Jacobs. But mine is not necessarily one player, rather a positional group. And people might come at me because the tight end is doubtful to play, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs receivers. The reason why I'm saying this is it's week one, right? They got a million guys there. They got Tony, they got Sky Moore, they got Justin Ross, they got Rashee Rice. Like, we're talking about a group that there's 5-6 guys that could touch the rock in just one game. And you don't know who the clear-cut guy is, right? So I think there's just better upside pieces, obviously, depending on who is on your bench. But I wouldn't really touch this receiver room until you really know who the clear-cut guy is. Like, there's going to be a guy that's going to emerge as the quote-unquote wide receiver one. Even if it's not the typical wide receiver one like it is on any other team, there's going to be a guy that's going to take, I guess, majority of the snaps away from, or targets away from everyone else, right? Whether that's Sky Moore, whether that's Kadarius Toney, whether that's Justin Ross, like I just mentioned. But the fact of the matter is we don't know who that is yet. So I think it's just stay away for the first week or even the first 2 weeks when it comes to those Chiefs receivers. And then obviously reassess that after. I think you just there's better options. There's guys that are in for more guaranteed volume as opposed to a sort of a lottery pick. If you're starting Sky Moore or if you're starting Kadarius Toney, I would sit away from the Chiefs wide receivers, at least for the first few weeks until that guy emerges.
I got Sky Moore in a couple leagues. But I do understand, like, Chiefs receivers can be frustrating, and it is going to take
some time. Sky Moore's in a lot of leagues.
It's going to take some time to see who that guy is, and even then, like, Andy Reid loves to spread the ball around. Yeah. Look at last season. Mahomes had such a great season, won the MVP, but he wasn't necessarily force-feeding any receiver specifically. I mean, I'm talking about a wide receiver, not Travis Kelce. But it is tough, and with Kelce potentially out, you might seem like, oh, Tony's due for a big game. Moore's due for a big game. Wouldn't surprise me if they, you know, turned up with, you know, 4 or 5 fantasy points. And then you're like, oh, I already lost on this Thursday night. But that is week 1. Our start sits powered by Did It. And like we said, if you're like myself, I won't speak on your behalf. But if you're like me.
I need help too. Everyone needs help. It's fantasy football. Why not?
If you're like me and you suck at fantasy, make sure to check out Did It. They give the best personal advice with their one-on-one consultations for your fantasy team. Make sure to go over there and sign up today. And there you have it. The week 1 start sits. Alrighty, time for everyone's favorite part of the show. We did it last year and we are back for another season and super pumped to announce that this year the segment will be sponsored by PointsBet Canada. Make sure to check them out. Use code BLITZ when signing up. But welcome to the locks of the week. We had a good battle last season. I think you pulled away from me in the end. Super hot start, both of us. Sort of cooled off as the season went on. Hopefully we can correct that this year and stay hot throughout. But these are the week 1 locks. Once again, powered by PointsBet. Make sure to check them out. Use code BLITZ when signing up. Kat, who is your first lock
of the week? Wow, the stage is mine, eh? The stage is mine.
First pick of the season.
I guess I won last year. It's only fair that I take the first pick of the season. And I'm going to go with an underdog play here. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to cover the spread. +2.5. That might become +3 if Nick Bosa plays. I'm hoping that that Nick Bosa signs this contract and he's active and that line falls to 3, because if I can get a field goal, Steelers at home, I'm going to take my chances. That defense is very good, very well coached team. They're going to be prepared, and I mean, like Pac mentioned on last week's show, TJ Watt, a Steelers defense with TJ Watt is just very, very good, and I'm going to take my chances. I like the points there. I'm going to take the Steelers to cover +2.5 at home against the Niners.
I love the Steelers. I was tempted to even pick them outright to win. I think this has upset written all over it for the week 1 49ers. We've seen the 49ers had slow starts in the past, even when they have great seasons. But I do have a Steeler pick, and I have George Pickens to score a touchdown at +225. I needed to incorporate the Steelers somehow, and that value is better than you're going to get anywhere else with any other bet related to that game. George Pickens is a guy who I think is in for a great, great season. And I love the matchup against the 49ers secondary with Pickens in particular because of the size that he possesses. I've watched a lot of Kenny Pickett. I know it's preseason. I try hard not to buy into it every year, but I'm really, really sold on this duo. I think you actually picked them last week as your breakout player of the year, George Pickens. I think he's going to start off the season with a nice, strong 6 points and get into that end zone. George Pickens, +225. That's my first lock. And once again, you can find that on PointsBet.
And my second pick, I'm going with another underdog play here. I am taking the New York Football Jets. Aaron Rodgers, Football Jets. Pac's rolling his eyes. For those of you that are not watching this on YouTube, he is rolling his eyes right now. He can't take it. And I'm going to be obnoxious about the Jets this whole year, especially this week. I am taking them +120 money line to win outright against the Buffalo Bills at home on Monday Night Football 8:15. We're going to be watching it, and I'm even going to go a step further. Aaron Rodgers, 3 touchdowns.
Oh my God.
3 touchdowns he goes for. We're not betting that. That's not my bet because we only allowed 2.
That's a dart throw.
That is not even a dart throw. It's a lock. but it can't be included in my locks here. Yeah,
because you don't think it's actually going to happen.
I'm That's taking why. The Jets plus 120. Take the plus chicken here. I love it. Jets on the plus.
All right, I'm going to end off with something realistic because of whatever you just said there is just definitely not going to happen. It's nice to know that after week one, I'm already going to be in the lead in this little competition this season because I am taking the easiest bet on the board. And yes, that is scary because sometimes that tends to be a trap. But the Arizona Cardinals, really, like, only 7 points. Have we read anything about this team? Have we watched what this team has been doing for the past 5 months with their new head coach? They haven't named a starter. Nobody knows what's going on.
What if they go dual QB?
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. And yes, I am higher on the Commanders than most. But honestly, I think for week one especially, where preparation is huge, I would pick any team in the NFL to beat the Cardinals by 7 points. It just happens to be the Commanders, a team that I am very high on. I just told you to start Jahan Dotson. I've been singing Sam Howell's praises. I think they're going to win by double digits easy and really just welcome the Arizona Cardinals and Jonathan Gannon to the NFL and let them know, like, listen, this is going to be a tough, long season for you guys. Give me those Commanders against the spread. Those are the locks of the week.
Those are the locks of the week, sponsored by PointsBet. Like Pac mentioned, use code BLITZ or go ahead on our Instagram. You can go to the bio and click the link over there to sign up, and you will receive $100 in bonus bets and up to $1,000 in second chance bets. So head all over to PointsBet Canada and capitalize on those exclusive odds. And like I mentioned, if you want to win money, you take my bets. If you want to lose money, take Pac's bets.
Yeah, this guy just
I'm the sharp one on the podcast here. I'm the sharp one. Right? And I'm going 2-0 this week. Like I mentioned, sprinkle a little bit if you want. Aaron Rodgers, big game Monday.
It's a new season, and boy, are you not ready for it, because those bets are not looking good. But I'm pumped for week one. I know this episode was a little shorter than what we normally do, but I think that's good. A little preview for the week, nice and short. Listen to it in your car ride on work on the way home Thursday. Just really, really get yourself fired up for the game. What are you doing for the game Thursday?
I think I might go get wings. Yeah, that's a classic. That's probably what I'm going to do. Usually me and my buddies, we go to somewhere's house or we go for wings and celebrate the season. So that's probably what I'm doing. It's not set in stone yet, but I will be watching it somewhere. I'll be watching Patrick Mahomes. I'm excited about this year because I finally, for the first time, I own Patrick Mahomes in a lot of my fantasy leagues. I've never owned Patrick Mahomes before. I have him too, in my main league. So we can cheer for the Chiefs together. Pac and Cat's Chiefs.
Yeah.
They already are Pac's Chiefs. Pac's They've a closet. Pac's closet Chiefs.
It's bad. It's not even a closet.
Like, Chiefs fan. But I'm finally in Mahomes' corner. So this will be the year that he only throws 20 touchdowns and 17 picks, right? And then it'll be my fault. And I will own it.
I really hope not.
I'm excited. We're in for a really great year, right? A fantastic year. I mean, when are we not? It's the NFL. It's the greatest league in the world. And I mean, I think that wraps us up here, Pac. I think it wraps us up.
Go Chiefs this week. If footage got leaked of me watching the last time the Chiefs played, which was the Super Bowl, every Dolphins fan would disown me because I was jumping up and down, screaming for Patrick Mahomes. Really, really embarrassing. That's just a little tidbit.
I was too, because I was going against the Eagles. So
yeah, of course. Well, I was just like singing the Chiefs praises all year long. Mahomes is the best. Got him in fantasy this year. I think they're still going to win, but I'll leave with one last note. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have, and this sounds funny, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire type debut. I say it sounds funny because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is like a fringe practice squad. He barely made the Chiefs team this year.
Everyone remembers that first game.
That first game was some of the best running back play I've ever seen in my life. I can see Jahmyr Gibbs having a similar type impact. I'll leave you with that. That's the show. Enjoy week one, everyone, and we will see you next week.
See you guys.